Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Awakening. Thank you for joining us. I am Morgana, and these are my co-conspirators, Stephen, Hadley, Cecil, and Tully. If this is your first time joining us on Weird Awakenings, we discuss anomalous phenomena, the strange, the curious, the extraordinary, the bizarre, and occasionally we're going to throw in a conspiracy theory. I like that cup. That's us in a nutshell. Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to our channels. Tonight we're discussing winter myths and legends. So when the snow falls and the days are cold, it's time to remember all those stories that kept us warm through time. From tales of ice princesses to stories of magical reindeer, there's a story for all of us.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to do?
Yeah, what did you research tonight?
Never mind. CERN?
That's not with CERN.
No, you got a couple more weeks to go before that one comes up. And for the record, CERN will mark our first anniversary. Nice. So, yay!
Yep, we've already got the next six years planned. Year.
That's right. Four and a half. Okay, see, so you get to start on winter legends. Come on, you can't even come up with Krampus or Santa Claus.
Well, Santa Claus is good.
Yeah,
he's a winter legend.
Conspiracy for sure, because that's the first time that you're told that somebody for sure exists, and you're getting your presence, which you never stopped by my house. They told me it's because we didn't have a chimney. But
you know what? I was told something
that's
similar.
Except
it was because we lived in a trailer.
That's exactly what was up with us.
See, we did too, but we had a wood burning stove so he could come down the pipe.
One year, I remember them telling us that he didn't come because it was too hot where we lived in Florida. He didn't like going to hot places.
Damn, Cecil.
But he really
I should have been your mama.
He really
because my children, seriously, are in their 30s, and they will tell you right now, oh yeah, I told mom I wanted Santa Claus to bring me such and such, because I told them if you ever stop believing, you stop receiving. So they still pay lip service.
Okay. So you still have them tied into the conspiracy then. That really is the first conspiracy that I could think of, because I stopped believing when I was real young. I guess I just, caught on a little quicker.
Wasn't the person that Santa Claus was based on, he was like a real piece of work, wasn't he? Like in real life?
St. Nicholas, I think was his name or something like that.
Yep.
Odin.
Odin, yeah.
I did not mean Odin. I meant the Catholic.
You don't have to fight.
there was the Catholic man, whenever you search Saint Nick, was a piece of work. I remember reading about that.
He was a monk, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that.
That was the Catholic Church's answer to Santa Claus, was Nicholas.
Because no one wanted to meet Odin.
That's right. But I'm with Hadley. I'll pay tribute to Odin in the wintertime.
Yep. Woolly worms, the woolly caterpillars, if they're a certain color, you're going to have a short, mild winter. That was always one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
And there's something there was something this past season that they kept saying that we were going to have a cold winter because of. And I just can't remember it right now.
Well, it got down to -46 here. I'd call that cold.
Yeah.
Hey, me too. It got to 29 here today. I got up this morning.
I got a cool one. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Reed.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave. Reed was going to come.
Oh, yeah, the fork, spoons, and knobs of persimmon seeds.
Yes, yep.
Reed was going to come, but he had explosive diarrhea. So he had
straight out of South Park.
So, yeah, I forget which is which, but apparently there's combinations of the persimmon seed. So wherever you are locally, if you open up the seed and it looks like a fork or a spoon or a knife, I think the knife is really the cold cutting into you. And then the spoon or the fork, either one of the other determines the amount of snow. So if you open a knife and a spoon, for instance, it's going to be cold and snowy.
Ah, okay. Cool. That's my husband's on his way to Iowa, and it is not minus 12, I think, right now. So he was real happy sounding about that.
I haven't been outside in days. I couldn't tell you.
Hey, Landa.
Hey, Landa.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for joining, guys.
Hey, Alan.
So, I like,
that's what I thought. All kinds
of good information. Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Maybe snow.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, that's, I can remember, you know, growing up and everything. I lived in an area where we literally got snow like every 10 years. We got ice, you know, every couple of years. But generally, I can remember the last time I saw snow was about, I've been here for since 98, so almost 25 years. It was the year before I moved here. And the only reason I can remember it is because instead of that little 2 or 3 inches we normally get every 10 years, there was over a foot of snow. And my sister-in-law had passed away, and her funeral was the day after the snow. And that was one of the most peaceful scenes I guess I have ever seen, was that cemetery, and there was a big field out behind it and everything, and there was just snow everywhere.
Yeah. Was that in 99, Morgana?
No, it would have been in 97.
Okay. Yeah, we had a good snow in 97 as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's in 99, that's when we had 16 inches here.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. Houses collapsed. Chicken houses collapsed.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I've never seen snow like that before or since.
Yeah. If we get powdering, it shuts the whole interstate system down. I mean, it's bad. So we are not four equipped. Inches, yeah. Yeah.
Four inches of snow around here, and there are people in the ditches and everything else. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
That's my favorite time to drive, honestly, is when it snowed at least 5 or 6 inches.
Yeah.
Nobody's on the road. It's always fun. You can go cut donuts in a school parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I found an interesting one. Have you guys ever seen the Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia?
Yeah.
Like Jesco Watt and all that crew.
Oh yeah, yeah. Very depressing.
Well, it depends on a perspective, you know.
It reminds me of what we grew up.
Yeah, it's funny you said perspective. I just want to throw this in real quick. I read a meme the other night. You know, everything depends on perspective. You know, the sinking of the Titanic was a miracle to the lobsters in the ship's kitchen.
True. That was their reprieve.
I like it.
So I bring up the Wonderful Watts because they hail from a place called Boone County, West Virginia.
Yeah. And that's where my grandpa was from.
Boone County is one of the most poverty-stricken areas in America. It's right up there with where we grew up, Cecil.
Manchester.
But there is a winter cryptid that roams that area, allegedly. And I'd never heard of this before the research. It's called sheep squatch.
Oh, sheep squatch. Okay.
And this thing, I can't show the picture because of the copyright issues. But if you look up sheep squatch on your favorite browser, you're going to see something that looks like the cross between Bigfoot and a Wendigo.
Yeah.
It literally looks like a sheep has been injecting steroids and pumping out porcupine spikes and horns.
So it's described as being, even though most of the pictures show it standing up, that's really kind of like a bear mechanic. It's actually a quadruped. and it has snow white fur as well, which could be a camouflage component in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there have been sightings in 1994, 1995, 1999, and then nothing else until 2015.
Really?
Yep. So whatever it is endangered, more than likely. So that it says that its hands are similar to those are of a raccoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raccoon.
And its tail is long and hairless like a possum. Ooh. And it's reputed to smell like sulfur.
So yeah. It's a diamond.
And there is a theory that attributes it to being born in the same area as Mothman.
Wow.
Around the TNT area in Mason County.
So it's a government project gone wrong.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, think about all the gene splicing and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, with the sheep squats, the raccoon type hands, that's similar to how some people have described the hands of a dog man. Mm. More of a raccoon type hand.
Yeah. So some people say that the sulfur smell, the people aren't really smelling sulfur, but that it's a mechanism similar to that of a skunk.
Yeah. Yeah. With that right there, it's I believe Bigfoot can do that as well. They can stink you out when they want to. It's a horrible smell. I've actually only smelled that smell once. And I would describe it as a combination of rotten eggs, sulfur, and raw sewage. It's
okay.
It's nasty. It's a nasty smell.
That smells pretty good to me.
Yeah.
I think that sulfur smell is a portal. Like kind of thing, like when it opens, I think, because you'll hear people talk about like if they see a demonic type entity that they smell sulfur too. So I think that it's a dimensional scent.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Just, again, not a professional here. It's just my theory, just based on stuff I've listened to. It's a common smell that people are having when they see some of these things, and I think that it's interdimensional.
That okay. is very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of the Native American
that's what legends I thought too, Landa, were, whenever I first read that.
Yeah. Say that the Bigfoot live in two worlds. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've mentioned this before, but a friend of mine went and he studied with this big time survivalist and was learning how to survive in the woods. And one of the things that I asked him was, well, what did he teach you about Bigfoot? Because when he was there, the guy, he didn't just teach him how to survive. He taught him about how to identify nature elementals and interact with them, which was fascinating to me. But so I asked him about Bigfoot, and he said that the guy told me, he said, it is an interdimensional being. You do not mess with them. They will not mess with you. Just, you know, don't. And that that was that. That's all he said about them.
Huh.
So he acknowledged that they existed, but, I mean, he just wouldn't go there. And the same thing with some of the shamans I've spoken with is it's they acknowledge that it exists, and they do not talk about it.
Yep.
I do have another winter cryptid on deck, but I'm going to let everybody else go again before I throw it out there.
Well, are we just doing cryptids?
No, that's why I'm saying take a break from cryptids.
I think that's the only research they did.
Hey, Gary.
You want to talk about Jia Ding from, where's he from, China? The Chinese Santa Claus who would put meat on the doorstep.
Oh, I've actually heard about that.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Let me look that up.
So what, was that the good kids or the bad kids that got the meat?
I think he did it for the whole community. You know, he was a good hunter, and he would put meat on the doorstep for them, and he did that every year, you know, at Christmas. So he was kind of the Chinese Santa Claus. until one year, you know, he didn't place the meat on the doorstep, and they went looking for her, and he had died. They found him in a cave where I guess he died from natural causes. But evidently, he was a real person who was doing playing that role. So,
but that's awesome, because so many places, so many people in villages and stuff, like, winter is a very harsh time. And, you know, that's usually when people are getting a little bit, you know, skimpier on food and stuff like that. So, you know, meat was probably a very welcome thing, you know, to a lot of those families. Yeah,
I would imagine so.
They have a picture of him. Yeah. He was a real guy. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm familiar.
Mm-hmm. I've got one if y'all want to hear about her.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, and before, I'm just going to say it before anybody else does. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know this is not John Wick. But
could be.
Baba Yaga is known as the Bone Mother. Slavic goddess.
Yep.
And she has been known to both help and hinder heroes on their quest. But she does not attack unprovoked, and she always keeps her promises.
The Bone Mother?
The Bone Mother.
I find it fascinating that you mentioned John Wick, because that was always one of the few faults I found in that movie, was Baba Yaga does not mean boogeyman at all.
Well, this is a Slavic goddess. She appears, has the appearance of a crone, and she's sometimes known as the Bony One or Bony Legs for her gaunt appearance, despite her often described appetite. She has terrifying iron teeth and is depicted as deformed or stooped with a huge hooked nose. Her name means grandmother or old woman in most Slavic cultures, but Yaga is less simple to translate. The most common suggested derivation is from the Proto-Slavic word for snake. She is said to have power over the elements and is almost a force of nature unto herself. Her servants are the White Horseman, the Red Horseman, and the Black Horseman, who control daybreak, sunrise, and nightfall. She is sometimes shown to be the youngest of three sisters, all unhelpfully called Baba Yaga in the tale. She can be seen flying around in a mortar bowl rather than a traditional witch's broom, although she is said to use a silver birch broom to sweep up traces of her presence before she leaves.
Huh.
So her hut is supposed to be situated in the forest of northern Russia or Finland. And it has a life of, which I know y'all have probably seen this, but it's said to be on chicken legs. Have y'all seen pictures of that?
Chicken legs?
And I'm going to have to agree with Crystal that the bowl sounds much more comfortable than the broom.
Right?
Yeah.
The most well-known story of Baba Yaga is that of Vasilisa the Beautiful. And it's like a Cinderella story, but I'm not going to go into all that. But the lore around Baba Yaga is all very interesting, but I love the term Bone Mother. That's something that really attracted me to this tale, is there's just so much that you can just take from that. It just brings that whole coldness of winter, you know, the chill of winter to you. But
I think
she's carrying
them Sheep Squatch.
I'm going to say I'm surprised.
What about, were you talking trash about Sheep Squatch?
I really thought Heavy was going to go with the Ice Giant.
I wanted to do the Baba Yaga because I love the Bone Mother. Like I said, that's imagery. And I found a poem somewhere in... It's inspired me to like create characters, and I just love it.
Ah, okay.
Ain't there the Frost Giant? Doesn't that come from like a Norseman tale? Like a
yes,
yes.
What's it called? Jothum? Jothim?
Jotrum?
Jotrum? Something like that. It's something to do with like nine worlds or something, and like the first three are like hot, and the second one's like frozen rivers and cold, and they all combine to make 9 different worlds.
So well, that's the Norse myth of life is the world tree and the 9 worlds.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's and I'm not even trying to butcher the names of them, but yes, there is the frost giants, which I want to say there's that's like Loki's mother was a frost giant, wasn't she?
Yes.
2024 for the person asking about when the rap album drops. If only you knew. Like, that's the inside
joke. Yeah, because the ice giants are a threat to Asgard.
Yeah. So. Asgard?
Asgard.
I wish I knew more about that stuff. I need to start reading more about Norsemen and stuff like that.
So I did
highly recommend it.
I did have
I believe there's more truth in the Norse mythology than in any other religious text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of have a crossover between the Norse and the Celtic. You know, mine kind of borders a little bit on both sides of it.
But you realize, like in Iceland, that 50% of their population, their DNA matches to Irish Gaelic.
Mm-hmm.
Because they brought so many slaves over from Ireland. So it's really all very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It really is. And I think that's part of, because I really connect with Freya, but you know, the Morrigan's always been my matron. But like I said, you know, I don't have any problem with that crossover because they don't. You know, there's just so much there in common that, you know, it just kind of calls from both sides.
Well, yeah, we talked about this before. I believe that the thing that's so attractive to me about the Norse pantheon is that they do not consider themselves to be gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to be, they don't want you to worship them. They want you to serve them like you would a liege. And with Freya, you walk with the lady, and you know, she wants to mentor you and guide you, and that's something that's much easier for me to accept than something that's wanting me to worship it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, the veneers, what Freya and Freyr were, which are they like. Nature elementals, Freyr was the king of the elves. And so obviously Freya was the, you know, probably the queen or princess. But the Asgardians, I can't even think of what to call them.
That works.
They were not immortal. They were mortal. But they just had long lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the interesting thing when you start thinking about Ragnarok and things like that, is that it's going to be the end of the gods. That's the death of them.
That's wild. Yeah. When it comes to immortality, would you rather be immortal or would you rather just live a long time, like, and then eventually die off?
I think immortality might be nothing more than our ability to remember our past lives.
Kind of like the Assassin's Creed or anything. Like where
I think I would want to know the true nature of the universe before I decide that.
Yeah. Just really long time. The door rap battle with home. I've actually heard that.
That's on point, Dave.
Well, Welsh, were they as hard to understand as a drunk Scot?
Right.
Well, they would take, it was like a horse head on a stick. They dressed it up. There's a picture I've got of one somewhere.
That's wild.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Yep.
Go ahead.
One thing that I've always found fascinating, and I found it more so as I started researching, is there are so many, like, Christmas witches and snow queens. You know, it's very heavy in female mythology and everything, because they have, like, you know, let's see, La Befana, the Italian Christmas witch that, you know, would visit children at Epiphany on January 6th. I'm going to kill this name. Here we go. Snegurochka, which was the Russian snow maiden. And she was, you know, magical, and she was rooted in Slavic mythology. And she was another girl. She was made from snow. And then she eventually morphs into an actual person, but she was always considered the snow maiden because of, you know, her past and everything. There's Perchta, which is really funny because that translates into cool old lady, for, you know, for lack of a better way to put it. But she was thought to be the leader of the elves, and even Grimm mentioned her as a goddess of the earth, you know. But like I said, I mean, just almost every other thing I came across were either, you know, winter witches or snow queens and stuff like that. And I really like that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I can't contribute too much, but I'm because I did not research the proper things. So foul on me, but I like the idea of winter witches. I've never really heard that. Like, is it are they witches that only practice during winter? Is that the deal with them?
Well, there are some that it's thought that they can only like manifest during the cold part of the year. You know, the ones that are considered more like snow queens. But the winter witches are more, I found tons of them that were associated with Scandinavian beliefs. So they're not really immortal or anything like that. They just, you know, have some, you know, some of them have some supernatural abilities. Some of them do the same thing, you know, that that Santa Claus does and delivers gifts. But on the other hand of that, you know, there's always the whole, you know, what was her name? Grinda? Oh, shit, I can't remember her name. But she would go around and eat bad children. You know, it was kind of almost in the same line as Krampus, but it was a female. And she actually, like, troll. Well, she also had, like, this little group of children, the little boys. What were they called? Hang on. Give me a second. I got to find it. Because they would go around and play tricks on people throughout, you know, Gryla, that's what it was, Gryla. And she had this little group of boys that were referred to as the Yule Lads. And they would go in and, you know, play pranks on people and everything all the way up to Christmas. But those boys were considered, she rescued them from, like, bad situations, bad parents, stuff like that. But then the ones that weren't the, you know, Yule Lads were lunch. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's not, well. Yeah, it's not all, you know, pretty stories, but I mean, you know, it's still, there's a lot, you know, of female in there, you know. I mean, there's a Japanese Oshiroi Baba or something like that.
I did see that. Yep.
Yeah. In well, which that translates. Go ahead.
What about Persephone?
I was going to cover that. It was. I didn't just have the sheep squatch.
I know Persephone. She's always down at the store, at the grocery store, playing the poker machines.
But I mean, when you go to the why about the women in winter, it's the crones, the crone aspect of the triple goddess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, because Skadi, which is the crone version of it's either Norwegian or Celtics, one or the other. I think she was supposed to have been a Norse ice giant. Now that you talking about ice giants earlier, Stephen. But yeah, she was the crone aspect of that whole goddess concept also.
Well, I'll probably oversimplify the Persephone thing, but my understanding of that whole situation was that everything started dying and Zeus was basically like, what's going on? Because it hadn't happened before, and Persephone had been swept to Hades, or
she was kidnapped by him. He fell in love with her.
Yeah. And Wasn't it like if you ate there, you had to return or you had to stay, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had to visit every year.
Yeah, because she ate there, like Zeus came and snatched her up, like, nope, this ain't happening. But I guess that was like the card up the sleeve was she had to come back because she had partaken in the fruit or the food or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And well, it was her mother that was killing everything.
Yep.
Not her. Right. Her mother was so sad that she was gone.
Ah, gotcha. Yep. Okay.
Yep. And she had to go back like 4 months out of the year, and that's the 4 months that everything's barren because her mother is in mourning.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful love story, though.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah.
Even if, all those allegories are very interesting of, you know, the mythology of the old world.
Right, yeah, and to me, that mythology right there, I mean, that just coincides with what we know anyway. You know, we have spring, we have summer, we have entropy, and then we have death, which is summer, spring, fall, and winter. So,
Well, a lot of it, when you go to the dark half of the year, again, that's the winter, it's the return of the light is of course, the spring. But once you hit the winter solstice, that's when the light starts coming back. But, you know, before that, when it's so dark and true winter is upon us, it is about staying at home by the hearth, which is a women's place. You know, the men are in from the field. So everyone's collecting at mama's house, you know, grandma's.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
Did anyone look into, like, any Eskimo folklore or legends?
I actually had something I had pulled up earlier. Oh, where's it at? I actually found some stuff that actually follows multiple Native Americans.
I didn't listen to much, and because I was actually looking over the list right then to see how I missed it. But you know,
well, so whenever I throw this next cryptid out there, it actually transforms specifically for winter, is how it kind of came into the folklore.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, no, I don't know that it's time for another cryptid yet.
Oh.
Okay.
Throw one out. I'm good with it. Yeah, there's one based out of Minnesota that only shows up in the wintertime. You know,
what was it called?
Oh my goodness. I shouldn't have spoke because I knew you were going to ask, and I was sitting there trying to think of the name of it. It's it's not a Wendigo. It's not a Bigfoot. It's something else.
Okay, because it's migratory, and it goes to the Great Lakes area every year specifically for this transformation. Mm-hmm. And it's called the snow wasset.
Yep. Yeah, there's another name for it. The natives up there have another name for it. And anytime those things come around, that's when they arm up and they go on watch for it.
So
they're not concerned about the Bigfoot. They're concerned about this thing.
Gotcha. Well, this one, what's crazy about it is it migrates to areas with super deep snow.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the winter, when it snows, it loses its legs.
What?
And what? Transforms into basically, think tremors. Ooh. So it like worms through this super deep snow, these areas.
Is it
and that's snow? How it catches prey. It like pounces up out of the snow like a worm.
Is this I missed you. I missed if you said the name. Is it that snow wasset or whatever? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and there's depictions of it like bursting out of the snow, taking down wolves and everything.
Mm.
So very tremors like.
It's like a graboid.
But yeah.
A snow graboid.
It's very. It looks kind of like a. I don't know, kind of like a seal to me.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
But it grows legs and loses them every year for the snow. So during the non-snow time, it has legs and can walk around. Very strange.
Known to be a migratory.
Okay, Hadley, I found that page, and a couple of the things that the Intuit people believe as far as, you know, snow, cold, winter, and everything, said there is one called Mahaha, is a demon that terrorizes the Arctic and tickles its victims to death.
I want to die like that. Really?
That, I was gonna say, that is the first one I've seen that has that kind of twist on it. And then there is Idjariat, which are shapeshifters that may change into any Arctic animal but may not disguise their red eyes. So you'll see an animal, and if the eyes are red, that means that it's that shapeshifter. And like I said, there's so much winter, you know, as the fact that it's the cold area. You know, they still have to have the snow and stuff.
That's very deceptive, the red eyes, because, I mean, 15 years ago, if you would have seen me, you would have thought I was one of those things walking around.
Well, I think they were like albino, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of red?
Right, yeah. And then there's also, they do have something that falls into the Northern Lights, you know, which are, you know, up in the Arctic and everything. And they believe that the lights are the souls of the dead. Mm-hmm. And, that they dance in the aurora instead, that sometimes the spirits carry torches to guide those still in this world. And other times they're playing soccer with a walrus skull as they skitter and dance across the sky. I like the Intuit, y'all. I'm going to have to say they're become some of my favorite people.
I want this. Mm-hmm. I want to be introduced to the tickle monster really bad.
Hey, Did you ever see that video? Or I think it's actually a photo series of that. It is a National Geographic photographer who took some photos of a leopard seal.
Yeah.
Those are probably some of my favorite photos ever. And I'm convinced that it's actually like some kind of humanoid goddess trying to feed that man.
Huh. Could be.
Could it be like a silky type thing?
It could be. I mean, but you see where legends like that come from when you have an animal act that way, which if you're not familiar with the story, for those out there who aren't nerds like me, this photographer was in the water in the Arctic taking photos of this leopard seal, and she kept bringing him penguins trying to feed him because she thought that he wasn't able to feed himself, and that's why he was so sickly. But he ended up, I mean, she did it like 30 something times.
Here's something.
I've been told that that's why my cat brings me critters and puts them at my bedside where I sleep, because I'm not a good hunter.
Yep. Well, if y'all get a chance, the guy, he does a YouTube video talking about the whole experience, and it's incredible. And I can't imagine what kind of those people who are listening and not watching this. C-Bone is what Cecil's going by currently. And Linda just noticed that his name, and that he wants to be introduced to the Tickle Monster.
Cecil actually commands the Snow Queens.
This is where I tell people you need to come join our chat.
Yes.
The chat room is where it's at.
I've been talking about that a lot on our page. Like, I really want to encourage people to come interact with us. I feel like we always gain at least some, if not some comic relief, we gain some different perspectives.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I finally found something that I think I can contribute to the conversation. Have you guys already talked? I've been spacing out because I didn't do any research. I'm like, I'm feeling bad about it. But have we discussed the Yukiana from the Japanese snow spirit?
Oh.
Have you heard of that? This is pretty cool.
I haven't. Tell me all about it.
All right. I'll tell you this paragraph about it. So So in Japan, it said when a woman dies from the cold, she becomes a Yukiana, a type of snow entity with magical powers over the cold. But the power has its price. This means that the woman becomes kind of a demon, which will steal the souls of those who she bewitches. In Japan, clothes are made to close left over right. This is both for men and women because only clothes that close right over left are designed for the dead. And that's hard sense to say. Clothes that close? Clothes that close. Thus, white kimonos that close over right over left are designated for the dead. An old belief states that if a living person wears clothes closing right over left, then the individual will attract misfortune upon himself or herself. I don't see how that ties into that spirit, but it's together on this
thing. Maybe it's only if you freeze to death with your kimono in the wrong direction.
Oh, it continues.
Land, I wonder what Land is learning from us, guys.
I like that little story. I like to read more about that. You can.
Oh, she wants you to repeat all of
it. one more time, somebody.
So, one of the big lores that I was reading about, which has come up in the past. I can't remember if we've talked about it or whether it's come up on the other show, but the devil's footprints that sent that city into hysteria in Europe in the 1800s. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It traveled. What was it? They found a horse like hooves in the snow that traveled 40 miles to 100 miles.
It was a bipedal horse print. And it went to a house where people were murdered. And once the footprints got to the house, it went to the roof of this huge house. And then it proceeded to leave. But the people in this farmhouse were all murdered, from what I remember.
Oh, wow.
But that, I don't think that's ever been solved. People have speculated like hoaxes, like somebody did that to kill these people and take their stuff.
All right, is this another Catholic murders?
The what?
The Hinder Kaeflick murders. I'm probably saying the name all wrong.
No, actually, that is a really close.
All I remember it being called is the Devil's Footprints, but I'm sure I could look it up. I just know it comes up every year.
Took place. Was it in Germany?
Yeah, it was in Germany.
I don't think this ties into that. This was in England in 1855.
This wasn't England. Was it the Devil's Footprints?
Yeah, the Devil's Footprints. It comes up every winter. I see stuff about this just because of the snow component.
It's on my research list now.
Okay, did that have any association with Spring Hill Jack?
No, but I mean, the way that the footprints are described and the fact that one of the biggest things that I remember about it is that they didn't see any footprints leaving either.
Oh, okay.
So,
like it took flight?
And they murdered and stuff like that. So.
Gotcha. So it'd be like Little Red Riding Hood figuring out that she was the big bad wolf.
Exactly. but yeah, it's kind of interesting. That would be like a one-hit cryptid because I don't think it's ever turned back up like in any kind of lore or anything. But that's one of those ones that was well documented and for sure happened, but they don't know if it was a person that did it and just like covered the tracks like Tully said and so forth.
Yeah, but that's one. People tried to dupe people a lot back then with stuff like that, so it's very possible that it could have been a hoax. But
somebody wearing a moonshiner shoe or something.
Yeah, I just imagine somebody struggling to get on top of that house. You know,
maybe they had a good vertical.
You're right.
Yeah, definitely.
The jumping man.
One thing I did find, and I just found it again. The Ojibwa Indians around the Detroit area, the Great Lakes and everything, have certain stories that they only tell in wintertime. You know, and they say that they have to wait, you know, until winter comes back around before they tell them. And the person doing the story was interviewing someone that was actually raised on the White Earth Indian Reservation. and asked him, you know, what, you know, or why they had to wait and everything. And he's like, you know, because they moved around from season to season. And in the wintertime, they'd move into these big, large birch bark wigwams, and they'd sit around and tell stories. And said that, but part of it was, you know, back then, you know, everything was shared orally. You know, nobody wrote anything down. And said that a lot of them are told during wintertime when there's snow on the ground. But there are some stories that we tell, you know, when there's not. But you have to be careful which stories you tell when. And said that the reason being, when there's snow on the ground, you know that those certain animals and spirits are hibernating and they can't hear you, so they can't come to you.
Huh.
So, and I thought that was really interesting, you know, that you tell certain stories so that, you know, you don't attract the wrong thing because they're hibernating. So mm-hmm. I thought that was fascinating, you know.
Right. That's a reoccurring thing with Native Americans too, is you don't really speak it because you could speak it to you.
Right. And Caitlin, you know, she really stressed on that, you know, about mm-hmm. what you said around certain people, you know, and things like that. So, you know, right. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Choctaws will not talk about little people. mm-hmm. good luck trying to have that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's what they said, you know, because the same guy they were interviewing, they're like, you know, what do you mean? And he's like, his quote was, creatures such as lizards and snakes, for example, often represent bad things in our stories. And out of respect and privacy, the storytellers don't want them hearing that because they're trying to listen to you all the time and you don't tell your stories or your dreams to just anybody. So, you know, it falls right back into the same things, you know, that Caitlin was stressing when she was on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very interesting. Refresh my memory on this because I told you all about my dream.
yeah, well, it is wintertime, but, you know, I don't know if snakes hibernate here or not.
I talk about my dreams all the time.
80 degrees, I feel like they were out.
Yeah, yeah. But no, we were talking about, you know, that she had dreams about snakes. And I think it was a bunch of them in the beginning that weren't poisonous. And then there were a little bitty poisonous one and then a bigger poisonous one, you know.
You know, so, I've never seen a hibernating snake.
They go deep, well, I think.
Down below the
frozen. You know about the frozen alligators, right? You don't mess with them. They can still bite you.
Yeah.
You know, that's sometimes. A crazy thing to see is those alligators kind of frozen dead space like that.
Well, I'd have to try.
Hop around on their backs like they're lily pads or something. Mm. That'd be fun.
That's a horrible thought.
Tell your dreams. That sounds like an Appalachian thing.
No, my mom
told me
that to my grandma.
All right. Another one, we're back on cryptid. I guess we've been on cryptids most of the night. So, is the Yeti. I sent all of you the link.
The big dog.
Yep. In the Indian Army. In the Indian Army, they found 32-inch by 15-inch Yeti tracks. And they have never retracted the story. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when that happened.
Steve. I love that, Crystal.
I literally drink coffee all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys. Y'all know Crystal is our newest member at Weird, right?
No.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh. Crystal is doing Blonde's books and Campfire Tales with the lovely Bethany Stutzman.
You know, I did know that, come to find out, because I watched.
Welcome, Crystal.
Yeah, I missed that one this week.
Y'all like tuned her. In a few times. A lot of fun. She likes true crime too, so she'll be doing more true crime stuff with Morgana and I. So
okay.
Yeah.
No, all right. My memory is very short.
Okay. Somebody sent me the other night a list of old sayings, you know, that old folks used to say, you know, was that you, Seal?
It might have been. I got on.
Yeah, YouTube about don't bringing a hoe in the house is bad luck, and
that's what I've always heard.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a whole list of them. But the reason that I say that, because I bookmarked this one so I could go back to it. It's snow folklore from Southern Appalachia, and it's a late frost means a bad winter. For every frost or fog in August, there'll be a snow day come winter. Three bad fogs in June or July means an early snow. If it snows cross-legged, it'll be a deep one. I have no idea what that means. But
maybe windy?
Maybe. I don't know. Regular occurrence of low rolling thunder in the fall portends a bad winter. If smoke from the chimney settles on the ground, it'll be a hard winter. If it's cold, if it's cloudy and smoke rises, it might snow. The number of days old the moon is at the first snow tells how many snows there will be that winter. It will be a hard winter if moths try to get in the winter, in the window. If snow lays on the ground 3 days, it's waiting for another snow. How long has it been snowing up there, Tully?
Well, it's funny you say that because they are giving more next week.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. It'll be a hard winter if there's more mast in the forest, nuts, berries, that kind of stuff. And, of course, you know, it'll be a hard winter if the animals' coats are thicker than usual.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. Well, if it thunders in February, you're going to have a late frost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't plant the corn till you see the blue jays chasing the crows.
Crystal, I'm gonna say no because, my mother always told me smoke's attracted to beauty because if you're sitting around a fire, it would always come to me.
Well, now I had a smart ass tell me one time that the smoke always followed the ugly one. So,
well, there you go.
You know. But I think he was being a smart ass, if I'm going to be honest there.
Well, I think my mom was pulling my leg, too, because she was a smoker.
So okay. Well,
I have seen smoke fall, but it's usually something to do with air density. So, like, if it's a very, very, you know, those knots when you can almost see the condensation, like the dew in the air? I've seen smoke hold close to the ground in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just got scientific-y.
Those knots feel weird, dude.
You know when there's dew in there, smoke holds low.
He's trying to raise our IQ, Cecil.
Don't you mess with my IQ, brother. The winter legends, huh?
I feel like that we've had a pretty good gambit. I mean, that's a good mix. We've had lore, we've had cryptids.
Yeah. I like how Appalachia goes straight to cryptids a lot. Like,
I think that probably the most, well, other than Antarctica, the scariest place on Earth that's frozen all the time is definitely Siberia.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. And
next year they're going to have mammoths. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Don't we're not going to talk about that, damn it, because Jurassic Park. I mean.
Well, I kind of like all the mammoth.
Cecil and I were talking about the lake in Siberia, the oldest lake in the world, the deepest lake in the world as well. And all of the craziness, that's actually the same lake where their Navy found, I don't want to say extraterrestrials, but they found something weird froze in the lake and ended up killing, I think, 3 or 4 of them.
Really?
Yeah, it was very similar. I think they, if not extraterrestrials, it was similar to frogmen.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you just hold a whole new level of terror for me.
Like the level. Well,
it's so deep. It's so deep how the soldiers got killed, I think, was from the sickness because they had to come back to the surface so quick to get away from them because they were trying to drag them down.
Oh, they got the bends on the way up.
Yep. They were so scared that they were going to get drugged to the bottom that they came up too quick and three or four of them died.
So they're more aggressive than the Loveland frog.
Yeah. But they might have been extraterrestrial. They say that they've never ventured back down that far again because of that.
Yeah.
The Siberian or whatever.
But do you really think the USSR was going to let that slide, though? If that happened, they're sending nukes and everything in the world down there. They're crazy.
Forever now. Like, that might be why it's the deepest lake in the world now. Like, mine.
You're right. They just nuked it out. Yeah.
Be like in the movie Major Payne, and there was the monster in the closet. He shoots in the closet however many times. So if he's still in there, he ain't happy.
I love that movie. That was a good kids movie.
Okay.
It had problems. Yeah.
Well, Morgana, I want to ask you, do you think with some of the legends of the Snow Queens that had to be the inspiration for a movie like Frozen, I figure, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think
I disagree with that.
I think Frozen was created to discredit anything like that, honestly.
I think that Frozen was created, Frozen specifically. Now, the other queens are a different story, mm-hmm. but Frozen was made so that your Google searches for Disney, Walt Disney is Frozen, would not return results anymore.
That's where you
okay, got I want to say one thing to that. Let it go. Let it go.
No.
We're too close to the edge, aren't we?
Hey, I get looks from Cecil every once in a while, and he's like, "Ooh, and we get off and go, you shouldn't have said that."
Okay. Well, we got to sprinkle a little truth in here and there. That's vanilla.
Yeah. Yes, I know. But here's you one that threw me off. Really, it's funny because it's, you know, you never think of there being a god of winter with the Aztecs.
No.
But yes, there was a god, and I'm going to kill this name here, named Itzlacoquilqui or something. But he is the Aztec god of frost. And he is often shown carrying a broom, which he uses to sweep away the weak and old, making way for new life in the spring.
Well, we all know that. I'm not the best at geography, but I did not think it frosted there.
Well,
that was my thought.
Okay.
How about before the pole shift?
Oh, yeah.
With the Aztecs, they actually lived in Central America at one time, the USA.
Yeah. Well,
they actually moved south.
So they would have known what it was.
Good
then.
That you clarified that Central America. So I'm like, yeah, we're talking about it right now.
Central USA.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that it was the Aztecs that were up here. And I don't remember the exact reason as to why they went south, but they went south.
That makes a lot of sense because the story goes that when the Spanish came, they transported a lot of their gold back into North America because they were still like friendly with the Native Americans that were here.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yep. Yeah. So one of the largest mounds in America is actually around St. Louis, Cahokia Mound.
Okay.
Huh. So you can look that up sometime. It's an earth mound, but it's huge.
Huh.
Hey, Crystal, you'll have to join us one week when we have a topic that you want to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
We can share the list.
We can do a whole episode on smoke.
We got the list. We got the paperwork.
Of course, some people don't read the paperwork.
I read it.
C-Bone.
I can't believe you changed your name
today. If anybody thinks we're just joking about how long this list goes, look at this. This is all the topics.
We want to talk about.
And just because you print the font at 48 points and only get two on a page, Cecil.
No.
Yep.
I'll show you.
So before we wrap it up, do you want to talk about any business stuff?
Wearing the Cult, Samuel Little Part 2 coming out tomorrow.
Awesome.
Business.
Cool.
Business.
I have it queued up to listen to, so I'm glad to hear it's there. I'm going to catch them both together.
I'm not a big fan of it.
I thought it was crazy. When we were going through it, like that's one of the most crazy serial killers I've ever heard about.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I did not know that name, which is unusual because I know a lot of them.
Yeah, confessed 92 or 93 murders.
Oh, good night.
Confessed 93, confirmed 60 so far.
Cecil, I'm going to send you a link. I had it earlier today. I just don't have it in front of me. It is about this serial killer that he was considered the most prolific in the country. And he confessed to all these murders. And they're recently finding out he probably did not commit one murder.
Henry Lucas?
That does not sound right.
Okay.
I'll double check. From Florida to California in his car and back.
Who?
I can't think of his name, but I mean, he confessed. He was the Texas Rangers and him became friends and he kept confessing to all this stuff.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. He just kept doing it.
Right, yeah. Because that's their thing now is he's confessed to all these murders, so all these murderers have gone free, you know.
I think of Henry, it's Henry Lee Lucas, right?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Henry Lee Lucas was kind of a strange one. He was confessing for strawberry milkshakes.
Yeah. He got friendly with the police and was doing it for milkshakes.
But he for sure.
He thought they were his real friends.
He was with Otis Toole. Him and Otis Toole were buddies, and Otis Toole confessed to killing that Walsh guy that did the America's Most Wanted. He's the one that confessed to killing his son.
Oh yeah. Man, I heard a scary account of a Ted Bundy thing last night.
Yeah,
I'll tell you after the show.
I think Ted Bundy was possessed by a demon.
I don't know. I think Ted Bundy was a demon.
No, I think he was possessed because of tales from when he was a child. But that's a tale for a different day.
Yeah.
Send me that link, though, Morgan. I want to read it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it popped up in something today. And I think that may be who it is. I just can't remember off the top of my head. But I saved the link
on my other computer. He said that he was part of a murder cult out of Mexico and everything. Like he was a wild cat.
Yep. Okay, good. Great. Yep. That's exactly who it is. Yeah. Yep, that was who it is. Because he confessed to killing 600 women.
Right. Right here he is.
Okay. All right. Cool. It made me think of you.
Sometime while we're on the show, you're gonna have to get Cecil to do a POV of what he's looking at all the time.
There's
17 screens in front of him, in front of a table decorated by serial killers.
Yes, I did know that there was a serial killers there. Thanks, Mike. You have a great night.
Good night.
Thanks,
Mike.
For coming. See you, Mike. Have a good weekend, Mike.
All right, guys. Well, I guess we're going to call that it. Great conversation. Stayed pretty well on topic this week. I'm impressed with all of us.
Yeah. Surprising.
All right, guys. Yeah. Appreciate everybody being here. You know, as always, if you get a minute, go and look us up on Linktree. It's Weird Realities, Weird with a Y. Weird Realities at Linktree.ee. And until next time, stay weird.
Night, guys.
Look into the Lincoln.